Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Becky, Kate, and I are here again today recording at Academy and about to decorate for Christmas at church. I'm pretty excited about that. I pulled all the stuff out up there, so I'm feeling excited about it. But what's up?
Well, we have our house dismantled in a beautiful way, so we're getting new flooring put in. And it was funny because our stove broke this week, and our oven and our stove both broke. And Brandon thinks he knows how he can fix it. But it's funny that we're recording episodes about hospitality, and I'm literally hosting my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and they came in. I was like, sorry guys, my oven doesn't work, my stove doesn't work, I'm cooking everything in an Instapot, we're having baked potatoes for dinner. Like, we just had to do like a complete pivot of what I would like to do for hospitality for people who are coming and doing our floors as a gift to us. It was so sweet of them to do this, and I want to like lavish all of the like really sweet hospitality things. And I don't even have a kitchen table. Like, we all sat on my kitchen floor to eat breakfast this morning because my kitchen table has all of my living room stuff on it, you know? And so it was just funny because we had just talked about, you know, the heart of hospitality and having a cheerful attitude. And I'm making scrambled eggs and sausage in an Instapot this morning because that's what I have that works at my house. And I was like, you know what? We're all having a great time though.
Yeah.
We're having a very sweet weekend. Kids running around, stuff everywhere. They're finding like these little nooks and crannies to hide in. They're like, look, I found this den that we can play in. And I was like, that's really our kitchen table with a dresser and a desk pushed up against it, you know. But it's been a very sweet couple days, even in the midst of upheaval.
It's a great reminder that hospitality doesn't mean things have to be perfect, but it's that people are cheerful and thankful and happy to be together. We went on a trip this past weekend with, we got a big Airbnb, and there's four guys that have remained like really best buddies since college, and we get to see them like once a year. And we this time got a big Airbnb so we could spend all the time together, because normally two of them still live in Cleveland, one lives in Ohio, and then we live in Illinois, obviously. So we normally go to Cleveland and just spend time in Tennessee, and everybody kind of meets up and hangs out at one person's house in the evening, and then we all split back up to go put the kids to bed. And this year we're like, let's get a giant Airbnb so that we can spend every second together. And there, so eight adults, 15 kids between all of us. So lots of children. And it was the sweetest, most peaceful time you could imagine. Because anybody that I'm like, oh, there was eight adults and 15 kids all staying in one Airbnb, they're like, oh my gosh, I bet that was insane. It was not insane at all. It was actually amazing. Just every bit of it was amazing and totally blessed by God. Just one of those times together where you just, I can't tell you the amount of times I heard people be like, God, thank you. Thank you, God, thank you. This is so sweet. But we did, me and another wife brought chili the first night. We ate chili. And then the next morning I had made bagels. And then another of the wives made some cinnamon rolls, cooked some bacon. And then we just kind of ate on that the next couple mornings. And then lunch, we just had leftovers from the night before. And then the evening we all cooked together like a taco feast. And then the next morning leftovers again. And it was just simple and peaceful, and nobody was concerned about how fancy the food was or who made it or anything. It was just like everyone being so happy to be together. And I think that is what makes hospitality easy, is when you're just so happy to be together that it doesn't matter who's cooking or who's doing dishes or who's cleaning up or who's doing anything. But it's just, we're just so happy that we're all here together and love each other so much. So it was just an amazing weekend. And these pelicans were migrating to where we were for some weird reason. So on this river, there were just hundreds of these giant white pelicans. Like, I came out at one point from putting Oak down for a nap, and I was like, what's going on? There's just hundreds of these white pelicans, and they stayed with us the entire weekend. We're like, God, thank you for sending these. And they would take off and all fly together and like swoop down and swoop up, and it was just mind-blowing. I'd never seen something like that. So it definitely gave Notebook vibes. Remember when all the white, those weren't pelicans, but all those white birds were there, and I was like, what are they doing
here.
So that was really, really cool and special. And there was a dock that was really high up. And all of the kids are fishing. Mm-hmm. No one hooked each other and no one fell off.
Good.
So so blessed by God. This deck was just so high because the water was kind of low. So we had a plan. We were like, okay, which adult is on duty to jump in?
Yes.
Like when someone falls off, and Logan was like, I will do it. I'm ready. Like, so it was just a sweet, sweet time. And I was so thankful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but anyways, today we're talking about being a guest of hospitality. How to do that? Well, our thoughts about that and all things surrounding being the guest instead of being the one hosting. What's it like to be the guest? And what should it be like to be the guest? Mm-hmm. So,
I think in order to be a good guest, quote unquote, you have to have hosted some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To know what will bless your host with your presence, because it's not like we're all high maintenance as far as hosting goes and we expect a ton from people coming. But I think it does help a lot. It helps to make you a more thoughtful guest mm-hmm. when you are in the practice of hosting. Not that anybody does it perfectly.
Right.
But, you know, it helps because you think, okay, well, I would want someone to help pick up the toys mm-hmm. after a large group is leaving, you know. And that's something I think our small group does really well. Everybody jumps in and picks up toys. Mm-hmm. Not that they get put back the way that everybody desires or whatever. But they're off the floor so everybody can go to bed that night and people aren't up for 30, 45 minutes tidying up. People throw their cups, plates away, all that. And I think it's because a lot of people we all are used to being in each other's homes, mm-hmm. doing play dates, doing small group, doing life together. And so you know it's going to make it difficult if people haven't cleaned up that lemonade spill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if there's a ton of little people all over the floor, mm-hmm. not children, like the little people.
Layers of people all over the floor.
People don't leave. They're
laying on
they
our floors.
They usually leave with
you. Take those.
Yeah, that's funny.
My sister-in-law, I have really wonderful sister-in-laws, but my sister-in-law, Kim, one time at family get-together, she was like, it wasn't until I was like 21 that I realized that I was supposed to be doing something whenever we got together. She was like, it took until I got married and had kids till I realized, like, wait a minute, I should be contributing in some way to our family get-togethers.
I should be bringing something, doing something.
I should be maybe helping.
It just adds perspective because it's like, you know, even prior to becoming a mom, there are so many things you don't understand about being a mom until you're a mom. It's the same with hosting.
Yeah.
You know, you're mm-hmm. like, man, I wish I would have done this and this and this for my friends,
mm-hmm.
but I just didn't know that they would need mm-hmm. that as a new mom. It's the mm-hmm. same with hosting. You just don't know. If you're not in the practice of hosting, you just don't know what to look for. You don't know what's going to be helpful.
One thing I tell our kids a lot, whether we're leaving the library, whether we're leaving somebody's house, or any area that we're at, is look for ways to be a blessing. Look for a way that you can leave this place better than you found it.
Yeah.
Look for, just that simple phrase of be mindful to be a blessing. Look for ways to be a blessing. And as the kids, sometimes they get grumpy if you know, they have to pick up toys after a small group, or if they pick up things at somebody's house, you know. I'm like, this is how we would want to be treated, though. And even if that's not how we are treated, we seek to treat people the way that we want to be treated, not the way that we are. And so when we're in somebody else's home, their space, or a public space, we're going to look for a way to be a blessing, which means we're not going to leave lemonade spills all over the floor. If we break something or spill something, we're going to clean it up. If we get something out, we're going to put it back. Mm-hmm. You know, just that simple act of teaching them, even from a really early age, to look for ways to bless other people is something that I wish I would have done
mm-hmm.
at a younger age. Of just look, and just that simple thing of just training them now. That way, they don't get to the point where they're 21 and they're like, "Oh my gosh, should be doing something. What am I supposed to do?"
Yeah,
you know, if we train them from the time that they're little to look for ways to be blessings mm-hmm. to other people, then that's already going to be ingrained in their fibers.
Mm-hmm.
As they're an adult, you know, they're going to be the 17 or 18 year old that's like, can I bring a casserole?
Yeah.
You know,
I'll bring cookies.
Yes. Can I, what can I do to help?
Yes.
But teaching them from a young age to do that.
I think leave it better than you found it is a great phrase to just have in, leave it better than you found it, no matter where you are. And there's been times before that we've been somewhere in, you know, at a park or something, and I'd be like, hey, pick up that trash. And like, I didn't, that's not mine. I was like, I don't care. Yeah. There's trash on the ground. Pick it up. So just taking responsibility that, like, we are the kind of people, we're Christians. We are not, we're not other religions that destroy. We are a religion that builds. And Christianity builds up. So ingraining in them, like, hey, we are followers of God. This is what God does. God builds and we build. And being people who restore things, build things, make things better, make things easier for other people, being a blessing. That's just, that's awesome. And the flip side of that, though, that is awesome. My mother-in-law, every time we're at her house, she's always like, do not clean up. Do not clean up. Aww. I want every single second that you're here to be hanging out together. She's like, I can clean up when you leave. And so, so when you are hosting, expecting nothing.
Right.
Not expecting that everyone has to help you. If they do, amazing. Please, please be people that are helpful. But if people are not, expecting nothing from people, being a host that expects nothing, being a guest that gives everything. Like, just knowing that, like, if people don't help, it's not the end of the world. Don't be in a little fluster about it. Because it is such a blessing whenever you are hosted by someone, whenever you're the guest, whenever they're genuinely like, I really don't want you to help. I really want to every to be looking and talking it to you.
Go sit and drink some tea.
I genuinely want to just look at you and talk to you. And then when you're gone, I will clean all the fingerprints off the windows and all the doors.
Like, one of our friends hosted, I think it, there were a ton of people there a couple weekends ago. Just, what was it? It wasn't a Reformation party. It was...
It was just a hangout.
Yeah. And I texted the wife and mom that night, and I just told her, thank you so much for opening your home. And because it's a lot, you know, when you open your home to a mass of people and your yard and everything, it is a lot. And they did it joyfully and without complaint, and they wanted to do it. But I said, thank you so much. We just had the most, you know, the best time. And it was just such a blessing. And I said, I was thinking about you as we were pulling away and just praying for you, because I know you're going to be mopping a lot tomorrow. And we just appreciate, you know, the heavy lifting you guys did for the party. And she said, you know, she responded really joyfully and was like, yeah, I'm going to be really thankful tomorrow when I'm mopping my floors. And I was thinking, you know, what a good attitude to have when, and I think everyone did a pretty good job of tidying up after themselves, and everybody has a lot of kids. And, but it was one of those really sweet, sweet things where you know that they're sacrificing things. And it was a Saturday night, wasn't it? So, you know, church and Sabbath and everything. So you have to prioritize that when you're hosting as well. But it was just that, that was one of those really sweet moments where you just see the effort that's being put out. And I think it is important if you're somebody with littles and you're with a lot of people with littles, just everybody putting in a little bit of effort at every gathering is so, so helpful because it can be a lot if you're the one who, not that this is my situation, but I can just imagine, like, if you're the one that's consistently always hosting and no one else is and no one's helping, it will burn you out.
Big time.
You know? And so in that situation, if nobody else can host or wants to host, you can even move those to, like, say, let's go to the park or let's go, you know, somewhere that's not your home. But yeah, those are just, I think it is helpful to just look for ways, like, if there's dishes that aren't related to the gathering, you can do them.
It's fine.
You can,
and it's
ask where their mop is.
I think this is my observation. You guys may disagree, but for women, well, I think it's true for men too, but for women, you fellowship well when you're working together. You fellowship well whenever you're wiping off the countertop and you're sweeping up the crumbs and you're chatting and asking about things. Sometimes it's easier to chat and really have meaningful conversations when you're working side by side with someone. And actually, Jared has said this about men too. He actually enjoys discipleship relationships when you're fishing together or you're doing something, you're building something together, where it's like side by side work rather than just like sitting staring at one another. Sometimes it really works well with fellowship to be working alongside each other. So knowing that it is a part of fellowship when you're cleaning together, and that is just such a blessing to the host. Becky, I remember the first time you came to our small group And when it was over, you just like grabbed a rag and my countertop spray and just started cleaning. And I think I almost cried. It's like, you're an amazing little soul, aren't you? And I was just so happy. And not that no one had ever done that before, but it's just, it's so touching. And it's such a blessing when someone willingly helps out at the end of a gathering. Yeah. It's wonderful.
And I think it's especially helpful when they, I mean, I don't know. Some people might have preferences where it's like, well, I prefer that they ask me first, you know. But when they just, people just look for a way to help.
Yeah.
And they just do it. And mm-hmm. They don't even expect to be noticed. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Had you never noticed that I was cleaning up mm-hmm. your countertops, it would not have ruffled my feathers one bit. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Your countertop was clean. That's what needed to happen. So I took care of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I think when you're a guest of hospitality, like you said, expect nothing and just be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, and this, I'm a bit of a walking granola bar. I'm a little crunchy.
Okay.
So I'm a little crunchy. And we have family members that are not.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as a guest of hospitality, you can be like, oh, I really wish this was, you know, seed oil free or dye free. Mm-hmm. And there are certain dietary restrictions. If my son has red dye, he turns into someone who's not Jack, mm-hmm. you know? So there are dietary
names for our children when they've had certain things. Yeah.
What are they?
Ransom's Randall.
Randall.
Yeah. If he's had something he should not, and I can tell him, like, you're turning into Randall.
That's so funny.
Is that because of the character from Monsters, Inc.?
No.
Okay.
But that is a good connection.
He's mean. He's a little just... Yeah. Discombobulated.
Yeah.
And that's a really sweet way to describe him. Discombobulated.
Yeah.
It's really...
Well, because they really can't control... You know, sometimes when kids have certain things, you really do have to speak up as a mom because you're like, my kid will absolutely...
We will pay for
this. ...be hindered.
Yes.
Right.
...in their ability to walk with the Lord for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
And mine as well.
Yeah.
But there are some things. Like, if you come into somebody's house and they have... air fresheners that you wouldn't use, or candles mm-hmm. you wouldn't use. Like, sure, there's things you can be fussy about, you know, but look for the ways that you can be thankful. Mm-hmm. Look for ways to be a blessing and look for ways to be thankful, because there's always going to be something you can complain about.
Mm-hmm.
There just is. And especially going into holiday season where you're going to be in other people's homes
mm-hmm.
who do life differently. They're going to have different preferences than you.
Yes.
They're going to have different ways of doing things. And again, I'm not saying don't protect your children from dietary things that they have to have.
Right.
Right? Like, I have to be gluten-free. I'm not going to eat wheat because somebody is serving wheat. I will gracefully find something else to eat that I can't eat.
I will also not be upset if I can't have a bun.
Right.
Like, who cares?
I can have a burger without a bun or I can have the pulled pork.
Or you can bring the gluten-free.
We bring gluten-free buns for Audrey.
Yeah. And it's nothing
Mm-hmm.
You can have boundaries and have your restrictions, and not yours specifically, but whatever they are, mm-hmm. and still be a gracious guest.
100%.
And we don't go around like the really very crunchy girl mm-hmm. that makes fun of everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's one video where she unplugs all the air fresh, she's just max crunchy. Mm-hmm. Don't do that, probably, unless you really have like migraine issues or something.
Yeah.
It's not a good way to be a good guest.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a guest, you're in your home for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you're staying at their house for a couple nights, you know, it's still a short time. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be okay. Your kids are going to be okay. If they have different preferences than you, be respectful of that, because you're only there for a little while and your focus should be on fellowship and being thankful.
Yes.
Like, there's always, this is one thing I tell the kids all the time, is there's always things to be thankful for.
Yes.
There's always things to complain about, but there's always things to be thankful for. And the Bible says, do all things without grumbling and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
All things. And, you know, you look at the situations in the Bible when people are grumbling, like, that doesn't turn out good.
No. Mm-hmm.
It never turns out well for you. Mm-hmm. It just really doesn't. And then you look at the situations where they're abounding in thankfulness. Like, you look at Acts, where they're just in each other's homes and they're breaking bread together and they're having fellowship together. And those are the sweet times that we should be trying to emulate. And I'm sure they had lifestyle preferences then too that were different from each other. Like, their kids might have even had different bedtimes. And you know, it didn't keep them from fellowship.
Yeah.
And we need to, like, going into this season, just be mindful of, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's really going to be okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is kind of specific, but there are a lot of people that I'm around that have littles. And, you know, everyone has a nap time mm-hmm. if you're really little. And I think there's this balance. I don't know why, but I've came across a reel on Instagram of all these people arguing about whether or not you should ask them to move family gatherings because of nap time. and also balancing that with just being chill for a day, mm-hmm. you know? And I was thinking about it today just because the holidays are coming up and we still try to force our kid to nap and she never wants to because why would you need to do that? And I just think there's a balance, you know? We don't need to be rude to our grandmas and aunts and moms and people who are hosting and ask them to move family gatherings when, in my opinion, fellowship is more important mm-hmm. than our schedule. We can get back on the schedule. Right. You cannot replicate the fellowship every day of the year.
And some of the fun and magic of the holidays is going to bed late and yes. being so strung out tired yes. and seeing all the sparkly lights and you're so tired. And it's just, it's part of the magic is this is different than normal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it's okay if it's different than normal because that's part of what makes it special.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's winter here, you know, where we are. And so it's dark really early. So mm-hmm. you can just, if they can't read time yet, at 5:30, you can just say it is super late.
We were going to church the other night and it was 5:30 yes. and Pravi was like, we're going somewhere so late. Mommy, it is so late. How much past bedtime is it? This is so late. Like, actually, it's really just not even bedtime yet. But yeah, I think high hopes, low expectations yes. is what Shauna Holman talks about a lot with the holidays. High hopes, low expectations. And it's just a great way to go about it. And yeah, the grumbling, complaining of the Bible, it's like sometimes that elongates your experience. Like if uh-huh. you want to grumble and complain, sometimes you're going to have to sit in that situation for a while until you can learn to be cheerful and thankful. And I've seen that in my own life of times of just being crabby about something. And it's like that season lasted longer than it probably had to because my heart was wrong about it. And I had to be repentant first and repent for not being thankful for all the amazing things in front of me. And the quicker that you realize that, the better that God has been so gracious and so kind and given you a family. And I don't care if it's your in-laws and maybe you don't get along the best. Who really cares? Mm-hmm. Be thankful that your spouse has his parents still or whatever it is. Fill in the blank. But stop choosing to be offended so easily and let love cover a multitude of sins and just be grateful. Be grateful that you do have family because there's so many people that do not have loved ones this holiday season. So yeah, gratitude. Always gratitude.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that has helped me grow in thankfulness, especially when it comes to family and gatherings, is not having my family, you know, and having like that. That's a part of my life that has just, you know, been taken away in the last couple of years. And it's a grief. It's hard to go through the holidays knowing that like all those memories are now in the past. It's not something that you get to. You don't get to experience that again. And when those relationships are broken or a loved one dies, there's such an intense grief there. That's just, I don't know. And it makes you so thankful for the people you do have, even if you don't see eye to eye. Like, I love my father-in-law and he just doesn't understand why I won't give my kids Pepsi. He's like, why can't I just give him a Pepsi? We love you, Papa, we do, but no, they can't have a Pepsi. But if you really want to give them a Propel, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, would I give them that on a normal basis? No. But they're at Mimi and Papa's. It's right. one time. Yep. It's going to be okay. Yes. You know? And you and I were talking earlier this week, Jordan, we've had a horrible situation with motion sickness in our family. We've just had like this onslaught of it the last couple months. And you were like, why are you going again to Thanksgiving? Like, why are you traveling again? Because we're going to be traveling next week and it's 7 hours if we don't stop, you know, which of course, little people, we're stopping.
So it's 14 hours.
Only if you have an ambulance ride. But yeah, we had a pretty eventful,
traumatic
trip on the way home from my in-laws last time. And Jordan's like, why do you have to go? But the thing is, when you realize how sweet fellowship is, mm-hmm. how sweet that time with family yep. can be when you're not complaining and yep. you're not yep. grumbling and you're not mm-hmm. like, oh, this isn't everything I want it to be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Just be so thankful that you have those people in your life, that they love you. Even if you don't see eye to eye, even if you do life differently, you can still be really thankful.
Yeah.
And if you're going into the holiday season and you have people in your family that aren't believers, mm-hmm. what an awesome opportunity for you to share the gospel with them.
Yeah.
For you to sit down over a cup of eggnog or cider or turkey or whatever and just ask them about their life.
Sit
and
if they're like, turkey oh my, leg together.
Yeah.
Share the gospel over a turkey leg.
I mean, why not?
Nothing better.
No.
Yeah.
And so many good conversations can happen over food
yes,
and fellowship.
Yes, absolutely.
So
yes.
many good conversations. Mm-hmm. And if you only see these people a couple times a year, mm-hmm. make the most of it. Don't yeah. waste your time yeah. complaining.
Yeah.
Be a light to them. Share the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. Have good conversations with them. When people make comments about, oh, well, your kids don't do screen time, or your kids, mm-hmm. you know, you're home with your kids all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use those conversations
yeah.
and say, well, this is how we structure a family, and this is why, and we yeah. honor God with this. And you know, there's so many good things that can come out of fellowship. Don't squash that because you're being fussy
mm-hmm.
over things that eternally do not matter.
Yep.
Like in the grand scheme, it does not matter.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day about, we both watched a little reel on Instagram about how a lot of times Christians can get really uptight about things that truly do not matter, especially if you're in like a crunchier realm or you get like fixated on a certain thing. And I think it's easy to do when you're a mom with mm-hmm. a bunch of little people. Because we do focus, like we'll focus on something and then we have to do a bunch of digging research. We have to look in it, you know, because for the well-being of our children, for our right. well-being, for our husband's well-being, because for some reason they're not always as inclined to, you know, they have other things they're working on. So
we're
for us,
taking care of them.
Yes, we are tasked with helping. And so I think, you know, sometimes it's easy, especially if you're a little bit more crunchy, to get really worked up about a lot of things that really don't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do the best that we can with our bodies. We pray, we ask the Lord for wisdom, and then we give that to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the holidays, that includes when
yeah.
we're hosting. We should be joyful, and people should see that we're joyful
mm-hmm.
and that we're following the Lord and that we trust the Lord.
Right.
So if you're breathing in Febreze for 6 hours on next Thursday, mm-hmm. it's okay.
Yeah.
Like the Lord protects you.
Yeah.
The Lord protects, you know, the Lord protects you when you're breathing in all the gas fumes at the gas station.
Yeah. The Lord is sovereign over
our days are numbered
yes.
and we
yeah,
cannot
please.
Spend mm-hmm. them in turmoil over break fellowship or mm-hmm. be grumpy or unhappy.
Yeah. You know what's way more toxic than Febreze or whatever is being stressed out and unhappy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that plays a way larger detriment role in our health
yes.
than smelling air freshener or candles or whatever. It's
yeah.
like, come on.
I mean, not to just totally quote Shauna the whole time, but
right. she's come up a lot in this episode.
Shauna, yeah. She's pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But she talks about the toxic burden,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you do everything you can within your control at your home to keep the toxic burden low, when you go to somebody else's house, that's mm-hmm. why you have a liver and kidney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or hopefully two kidneys.
Hopefully.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I guess good news. They
kidneys.
Filter.
They mm-hmm. do filter.
We have lots of filtration in our body. Sorry.
There is. I forgot he was down there.
He's been so quiet.
He's been so quiet.
Good.
Just chilling.
Yeah.
But you know, that's one thing that,
yeah.
you know, you just, mm-hmm. if you are in the crunchy realm, and if you're not in the crunchy realm, you're probably laughing at us. Like, why is this even a big
deal?
And you should probably Google a couple things.
Yeah.
But actually, just kidding. Don't go. They can't track it.
My tinfoil
this
hat's
is not
going.
Be unoffendable if you have Febreze in your home. We're not
yes.
hating on Febreze
nope,
lovers.
No.
We are not.
No. We will still come in fellowship with you.
Joyfully. Yes. Oh, my, yeah, Becky knows my cleaning situation has totally changed over the past mm-hmm. year or so. Just because I'm like, you know, sometimes you need the bleach.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need the strong stuff to kill lots of germs in your house. And I will tell you, we have been sick less. So I'm just saying, sometimes what you think is healthier for you may not be healthier for you in all areas of life. So just be cautious about what you think that you are the most intelligent about, because you just don't know. You just don't know. Even things that we think that we've gone down the rabbit hole and figured out, it's like God laughs. He's like, really? And you're doing this other thing and you have no idea yet the role that it's playing. So ultimately, trust the Lord in his sovereignty, do the best you can, and value gratitude and fellowship and all the things, celebrations above freaking out and being fussy.
Cheerful heart is good medicine.
Amen.
And what's the last part of that? Cheerful heart is good medicine.
It's really
amazing. Crushed spirit brings rot to the bones or something.
Yeah.
So if you're walking around like, oh, this is terrible. Oh, you know, if you're just grumpy and complaining and fussing all the time, you're bringing rot to your bones.
Yes.
You know, and a cheerful heart is good medicine. Yeah. So be cheerful. Don't fuss about it.
Yeah. I had something else to say about it, but I've lost it. Hold on. Don't know. I think those are the jammies we gave you. I remember those.
I love them.
I love them, too. They look so tiny.
He's like twice his birth weight now.
So cute.
So.
Being cheerful and cleaning. I don't remember. Go on with something else if you have it, because I lost what I was
going to
say.
I was just going to also mention preparing your kids in advance for, like, whatever gathering you're going to. If there are things to prepare for, or if you feel like you need to repeat certain things before you get to said place, you know, I think that that can help set your kids up and your host and everybody at the gathering up for success, and it will make your life easier as well, because sometimes there are just, you know, depending on the dynamic or depending on where the bathroom is or if they have a kid's potty or, you know, I think just from a practicality level all the way up to if you have bigger kids that are going to be talking to adults, because there's always adults at every family gathering that have something going on, or there's an extended family member that is in prison or something, that inevitably somebody will bring up, a kid will bring up, whatever. And if there are things to navigate, maybe try to prep your kids ahead of time if you think they're going to end up in a conversation about that, or, you know.
That's a good point, training your kids to be good guests.
Because
a lot of times whenever we go to someone's house for supper, I'm like, you will eat what they give you as much as you can, and then you will say, that was wonderful, thank you so much for making that for me, and thank you for having us, and then you will take your plate to the sink, and, you know, it just preparing that this is what you do. You will eat it, you will say thank you, you will clean up after yourself, and teaching them how to be a good guest at a dinner, how to be a good guest, you know, at a family get together, whatever it is. And just, I think all of that is very important. Not just letting your kids come in at a 10 energy level, but being like, no, we're going to train you to be like little adults in this situation, and we're going to treat their home with respect and their stuff with respect and the atmosphere with respect, and try to not make it insane.
Well, I think a lot of that starts in your own home too.
Yes.
Because you cannot expect to take your children who have no parameters.
Yep.
They're not practicing manners at home. They're not telling mom after the dinner, thank you so much for making this food. They're not, they're being taught at home not to grumble over what they're given. If you can't, not, which I know is a bad sentence, but you can't not teach those things to your kids at home.
And then just,
and then all of a sudden think go to that somebody else's house, give them a rundown 5 minutes before you get somewhere and be like, and now do it, children. You know, that's not going to work. So the practicing being a guest of hospitality starts at
dinner
being
time.
In their home. You know, how are you interacting with us at home? Do we come barreling in through the front door? No. Do we come running through with our shoes on? No. We take our shoes off when we come in the door. We leave them over here, you know. And coaching them and teaching and training those things at home and practicing those things on a daily basis, one, will make your home a lot more peaceful overall. But two, then when they go to somebody else's house, like, well, of course we're not going to come in. You know, and although something about small children, when they see other small children, it's like the hype level just explodes. They're just so excited, which is very sweet to see. But so they might come in at like an
eight and a half.
You know, eight and a half is fine.
But,
you know, if you're not teaching those things in the home, though, then when they get outside of the house, you cannot, it's not fair right. to have that expectation mm-hmm. for them. That's not yep. fair to yeah. them.
We went through a time where we were saying, okay, after you eat, you're going to tell mom, thank you, mom, for making this food. Thank you, dad, for buying this food. Mm-hmm. And just, like, telling them things to be thankful for after each meal. Yeah. And that is a great practice if you have kids that are fussing about food mm-hmm. or fussing about the time they have to sit or whatever it is. Yeah. Just teaching them, these are things that we are going to say out mm-hmm. loud to be thankful for. That's good.
We have one who is a little bit more grumbly right now. And this doesn't work for all children, but as Jordan has told me, it does not work for all children. But one thing that we are having that child do is as soon as a complaint or a grumble, because it became so frequent that it was any little thing mm-hmm. was just a massive inconvenience. Mm-hmm. Like, please go put on your PJs. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, there was complaining about a lot. There's so many reasons
why that's a bad idea.
And we're like, okay, this is something that you have to practice your way out of. Mm-hmm. If you are caught in that cycle, and this works for grown-ups too. My kids have held it to me where if I mm-hmm. complain about something, like, mama, you know, you have to do now. Mm-hmm. But I make them say three things that they're thankful for. Mm-hmm. And then for every, this is the fun part, for every subsequent complaint, I add on an additional thankfulness. So the other day.
I said this to mom the other day, by the way. I was like, just say three things you're thankful for.
Did she?
Yes.
Did she? They were complaining about doing school. And I was like, okay, say three things you're thankful for. I'm like, I don't want to. Oh, four things. Mm-hmm. No, I really don't. Five things. And it was every other complaint or rebuttal was an additional. Finally, this child got to six and they're like, I'm thankful I have hands. I'm thankful, you know, and I was like, that's good.
Yes.
You should be thankful for that. Hands. You should be thankful you really have thankful. Hands. Mm-hmm. You should be thankful for your eraser that's covered in pencil, which was one of the things that they were, you know, quote unquote yeah. thankful for. But you should be thankful for those things. And so teaching your children to cultivate a grateful heart mm-hmm. is so important, not just when being a guest of hospitality, mm-hmm, yeah. not just when hosting people, but just in life in general.
Yeah. It's a good muscle memory to start working out, even mm-hmm. in little kids. And, yeah. and for us, like, forcing yourself, say yeah. three things you're thankful for.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. It changes your perspective completely.
It does. And sometimes there have been situations where, like, what can I possibly be thankful for about my PJs? Mm-hmm. Be thankful that they're clean. Like, mm-hmm. it's taken some coaching to where sometimes, like, I really can't think about it, and then I'll get them started, like, okay, here's a couple examples, and they're like, okay, thank you that it's pink, thank you that they're clean, thank you that they're in my drawer, thank you for a washer, you know, you can always go down that rabbit hole of thankfulness.
Thank you, which, I don't have to be cold tonight.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, and that just, it spills over into every avenue of your life.
Yeah. We're going to have to stop soon because it's almost time for class. Oh, yeah. But one thing that I wanted to say really quick. Do you guys ever read Christmas stuff? Like right before or during Christmas season?
Yeah.
Any Christmas? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's real quick say that. Any Christmassy books that we might read during the Christmas season? Gosh, because yeah, we're entering it and I want people to be thinking if they don't do that. I'll give mine. Okay. Give yours. Because I already thought about this. 2 years ago, I read Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol story.
Oh,
Carol.
Yes.
I get confused. I also read A Christmas Story, though. The Shoot Your Eye Out. Yeah, A Christmas Story. Ralphie and the BB Doll.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I read that, too. Yeah, it was. It was originally a book. It's different than the movie. But it was fun. And so I've read those two. And then last year, I read The Best Christmas Pageant Ever.
That one's cute.
I love that book. These are all short. So it's something that you can read, like, in the course of a month. Mm-hmm. But I loved that movie and book. They're both amazing. I read it out loud to the boys last year, and we watched the movie on Christmas Day, and it was so good. And then this year, I'm reading Hans Christian Andersen's, it's like Christmas Stories or something like that.
Oh, cool.
You know, he wrote a lot of fairy tales.
Yeah.
And he, I have a little collection of like three or four maybe, little Christmas stories in there. So there's like the Snow Queen, the Snowman, the Fir Tree, and the Old Oak or something like that.
Okay.
But they're all just, the Match Girl. Oh, I read the Matchstick Girl. Oh, have you read the Matchstick Girl?
It's awful.
I accidentally read it out loud to my children last night, and I was editing at the end. I was like, oh, it's didn't awful. See that coming. I'm going to spoil it. She freezes to death at the end.
It's terrible.
Didn't know that was coming because I had read all the other ones leading up to that and that none ended that
horrifically.
Horrifically. And so I was like, this one's called The Matchstick Girl. And I just start reading it and Pravi and Val are laying on either side of me before bed. And I'm like, and she was cold and went with her grandma. Yeah. The end.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Like, whoa.
And they
do
have
you ever read a story like that where you're like editing as you're reading out loud? I was like, this is too scary.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But I've been reading all of those. And they've been really fun.
They have really pretty kids' picture books with of the matchstick girl.
Oh, really?
And I had one. Excuse me.
And they have her frozen corpse at the end?
I mean, kind of. I mean, really? She's, like, there and, like, she's just frozen and she's dead. And it's awful. I had one in my classroom. I got one for my classroom back when I was teaching. And then I was, like, pre-reading it. I was going to, like, do some activities and stuff with it. I was like, I'm throwing this away.
That one's crazy.
This is traumatizing. Yeah, the children don't need to read this.
But his stories are really cool, though, because they're, like, deep, meaningful endings and things that make you think about the lessons. It's not like Disney. It's not Disney endings. It doesn't end beautifully. Warning on that. But I do like it. I personally have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
What about you? Anything?
I'm trying to think. I don't have my Christmas books out yet.
Class is starting.
Okay, we need to head. What? Yeah. Quick. Next time. I don't have my Christmas books out yet.
Do you have any? Mm-hmm. None off the top of your head?
Not out yet, so I can't rattle them off. Mm-hmm. They're in a box.
Not kids' books. I've seen, like, your own personal reads for Christmas.
I have some that I found at a thrift store that look really cute. Mm-hmm. Like, I have some vintage antique-y.
I have some that Ruth Graham wrote that I haven't read yet, but I have some Ruth Graham Christmas stuff.
Becky, you and I both read it a couple years ago, a Christmas quilt, and I can't remember who it was by.
That's a
sweet. But it's like a historical, just really sweet story of God's mercy and grace. Okay. And, I'll have to figure out who it's by.
Okay. Well, you can Google people, a Christmas quilt. Okay. A few books for you to think about. So.